From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, we're in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit, and I hope you're here too. Coming up on the show, we'll be talking about the attacks on Kurds in northern Syria by Turkey. And China is under the microscope again over their human rights violations. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This weekend, thousands of politically active Christians have converged on Washington, D.C. for Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit. And if you're one of the many people who heard about the Values Voter Summit through this radio program and signed up to come to our nation's capital, you were pleasantly surprised to find out that President Donald Trump will be the keynote speaker for the gala, honoring Andrew Brunson. Pastor Brunson had been held for many years in Turkey, and the president was essential in securing Pastor Brunson's release. I expect that we'll hear portions of the president's speech in the coming weeks here on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Turkey has begun military actions against Kurdish fighters in northern Syria after President Trump moved U.S. troops out of the region. Senator Lindsey Graham has been an outspoken opponent of the president's move and has introduced bipartisan legislation that would have a significant impact on Turkey because of their military actions. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about that legislation is the senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, and God bless Tony Perkins and the voice you have given to this cause and to all the people that listen to you. You need to get behind stopping Turkey.
Well, I want to thank you, Senator. You were one of the first ones to speak out, and as I was sharing with your team yesterday, you gave a lot of people the cover to speak out, and I think there's a unified voice, a bipartisan voice, and you actually put feet to that yesterday as you filed a bipartisan legislation that would put sanctions on Turkey and cease military hardware going to that country once they cross this line.
I'm going to do everything I can to make Erdogan pay a heavy price, crush his economy. I find it ironic, sad, insulting that F-16s designed and made by America are being used by the Turkish Air Force to bomb civilians and Kurdish fighters who helped us destroy ISIS. Now, here's what your listeners need to understand. The YPG Kurds in Syria were the main force that we partnered with to destroy ISIS in northeastern Syria. They're an offshoot of the PKK, which is a terrorist group inside of Turkey. They have been good allies, but in the eyes of Turkey, they're a threat. So I've been working with President Trump to create a safe zone, protecting the Kurds, having them away from the Turkish border, having Americans and European soldiers in the middle, making sure ISIS doesn't break out and the Kurds stay safe and Turkey doesn't feel threatened. It was working until Erdogan decided last Sunday to invade, take matters in his own hands. 2 weeks ago, I met with him at the UN. I told him, I'm working, Mr. President, to have this safe zone that will meet your needs. But if you go in militarily, all bets are off. So it is important that we crush Erdogan before he crushes the Kurds.
And let me just say this, Senator, because you and I have actually met and spoken about this a number of times. In fact, 6 months ago, when there was a concern that this was going to happen, you were a key part of pulling together that coalition of multinations to provide that security buffer there in northeast Syria. This is in my interest. I mean, obviously, there's a human element here. We don't want to see war anywhere. We don't want to see anyone treated as it appears the Turks are now treating those in northeast Syria. But this was a region where true liberty and democracy was taking root in the Middle East, something that outside of Israel, you don't see in the Middle East. And it's going to be cut short.
So when the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, today says pray for the glorious Kurds, the Kurds have been friendly to Israel. The YPG Kurds are fairly secular, and they're probably more Marxist than they are anything else, but they have protected the Christian minorities, and there's not just YPG Kurds, there are other Kurds there too. So the bottom line, it was working.
Right.
And we had less than 1,000 troops. We were making sure the 10,000 ISIS fighters would not break out, and it's the Kurds doing the guarding of the prisons.
Right.
And we had this less than 1,000 troops. The Europeans were going to come in with another 1,000, and we could keep the peace and let this democracy flourish. And Erdogan threatened the United States with an invasion, and we backed down. What President Trump should have done when he was called last Sunday is to tell Erdogan, if you cross into Syria and come after the people who helped us destroy ISIS, I will blow you out of the sky.
All right, Senator, here's the question now. You and I are on the same page on this. What has to happen to put this back in the bottle? How do we undo this?
Well, the President of the United States, who is a good friend of mine and a good friend of yours, and let's pray for him, he's done a lot of good, believes that we can pull out of Syria and it won't matter to us. There's 10,000 fighters in Kurdish custody, ISIS fighters. There's 60,000 in a refugee camp outside of Raqqa. And the ISIS brides are more dangerous than the guys. And if it weren't for the Kurds, Raqqa would still be under ISIS control. And look at the number of attacks were generated from Syria into Europe. Look at the number of people died here in America because ISIS inspired Americans to take up jihad. So if they ever come back, every radical Islamist in the world is going to be on steroids, and you cannot, you're a Marine, you cannot win a war from the air. I'm an Air Force guy. I love the Air Force, but you have to have Marines to go in with the Army to kill them on the ground. You know who the Marines were in this fight against ISIS? It was the Kurds.
Right, right. And that's what's so...
people in 4 years, 8 Americans, God bless the 8, but the Kurds have been doing all the fighting.
Right, and that's the frustrating aspect of this, is that the return on our present investment was so disproportionate to what we have committed in Syria, because all the hard work has been done. We were simply maintaining it.
Well, President Trump's worldview is flawed in this regard. He believes that we should get out of the Mideast. If we leave the Mideast, then what's coming from the Mideast, what's in the Mideast comes to America. Have we learned nothing from Afghanistan?
Right. Right.
September the 10th, 2001, we didn't have one soldier in Afghanistan, not a dime of aid. We didn't even have an embassy. We ignored Afghanistan, and that's where al-Qaeda had sanctuary, and they planned the attacks of 9/11. I am telling you and your listeners, just as sure as I'm sitting here, if we withdraw from Syria, the Kurds get slaughtered, ISIS comes back, we'll have no partners in the future, we'll go back into Syria, it will cost us 10 times more than it's costing us today. And having a few soldiers over there protects us from radical Islam coming here. And let me just finish my thought if I could. The border wall makes sense to me to protect our border. You can't build a wall between us and radical Islam. So some soldiers working with people on the ground like the Kurds, keeping them pinned down over there, protects us here. And if you pull all of our soldiers out, it'd be like tearing down the wall. You know, it takes two to end a war, Tony. Radical Islam will never give up their jihadist dreams until they're killed or captured.
Mm. And this goes beyond the borders of Syria. I know you say it comes to the United States, but also one of our main allies in the Middle East, Israel, is in the crosshairs with this ultimately.
What about Jordan?
The pressure on Jordan will be immense.
So, you know, I love this show because you actually can talk about stuff. So the king of Jordan has been a good ally. He's moderate. He's been a really good ally. Where do you think these ISIS fighters are going to go when they get out of jail? They're going to go south.
Right.
They're going to go to the path of least resistance. And you're talking about another 4 million people fleeing Syria, and Jordan is full.
Well, they've already taken in. They've already taken in a couple million refugees already.
And they are full to capacity. 1 out of 5 people in Lebanon is a refugee, and it's about 10% of the Jordanian population. But if you care about Israel, which I know you do, if we abandon northeastern Syria, the Kurds get eliminated, Turkey comes down, Iran comes in, Assad comes in, and you will have a launching pad against Syria, against Israel from northeastern Syria and southern Syria. They're surrounded by Hamas in the Gaza Strip. They're surrounded by Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Hezbollah is going to move in with Iran in Syria. This is a nightmare for Israel.
Right. I see it the same way. And you begin the land bridge for Iran to the Mediterranean?
I don't mean to dominate the conversation, but there's a little Altamis is a base of 250 Americans by a refugee camp on a highway between Tehran and Beirut. It stops the flow of weapons from Tehran to Beirut to supply Hezbollah. If we withdraw that garrison, it would be a freeway.
Yeah, and that that is deadly for Israel. Senator Graham, I mean, I know where you are on this issue. You and I have talked about this a number of times, and I know no one has been more vocal in supporting the democracy there in northeast Syria, the Kurds, the Christians. I read a piece in Politico where you were pranked by apparently some Russians trying to twist your words. I wanted to give you a chance to address that on this program.
Yeah. I've been talking. In 2016, I challenged the Obama administration. You're relying too heavily on the YPG forces inside of Syria to fight ISIS because they're a threat to Turkey. This will come back to haunt us. We got more Arabs over time. But the YPG elements inside of Syria are the cousins of the PKK. They were there helping us when nobody else would, so we owe it to them and the other Kurds to not abandon them. But we also need to recognize Turkey's legitimate concerns. So a safe zone, keeping the Kurds away from the Turkish border, having an international force, watching ISIS prisoners and everybody else was the answer. I told Erdogan, I want to make it a win-win. You know what makes it a lose-lose? And I told him this 2 weeks ago. If you try to go into this safe zone and police it with Turkish soldiers, that's the end of our relationship. And that's exactly what he did. So this phone call, I did get pranked. It's what I've been saying for 3 years.
Well, and I hope you'll continue to advocate. We're going to join with you because we see it, as I said, 100% the same way you see it. This is a critical moment, I think, for our nation, our reputation.
Urge President Trump to back my sanctions. Urge President Trump to get behind my sanctions. That will give him leverage with Turkey.
All right, we'll do it, and we'll also take your advice in praying for the president as well.
You can find out more about Senator Graham and his legislation when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you can also find out more about FRC's efforts to promote religious freedom abroad, as well as here at home. You can find those details at our website. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
News. We can get it from many sources, but what can you trust these days? Where can you get news that doesn't make you as suspicious as you are informed? If you're looking for something better, for honest coverage of the latest news, one trusted news source I look to is the Washington Times. When preparing for the radio program and selecting guests to join me on the show, I will often read the Washington Times and have their reporters join me here on the program because I trust how they cover the news. Join me and more than 7 million readers who turn to the Washington Times every month to get real, trusted news. For a limited time only, listeners of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins will receive a special annual rate of $69.95 for the first year. Subscribe to the Washington Times and get this special offer by using my name and visiting washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins. That's washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins.
Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman. For decades, the nation's leading abortion supplier has claimed to be the champion of women's rights, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Planned Parenthood has repeatedly violated the law and violated women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the devastating effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities, Planned Parenthood is an organization that not only promotes a culture of death, but makes it a reality. In a new brochure from FRC, you will find evidence that will challenge your assumptions about Planned Parenthood and equip you with the information you need to be a true champion for women and the lives of unborn children. To order this brochure and to download your free digital copy, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Several radical abortion laws throughout the country are challenging the sanctity of life. The Family Research Council wants to remind Congress that babies should be welcomed with a warm hat, not potential danger. Our goal is to send 90,000 hats to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and support has allowed us to purchase over 45,000 of those baby hats. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. We're coming to you from the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C., site of this year's Values Voters Summit. And if you've never experienced one of FRC's premier events, bringing together people of faith from around the country, I'd encourage you to keep your eyes peeled for information about our 2020 event. That info will be available in the coming months. Now we turn our attention to China, who, among other things, has been in the news for the way the National Basketball Association here in the U.S. is afraid to criticize the way the Chinese government is cracking down on the people of Hong Kong. But China also has a problem with the Uyghur Muslims in the northern part of China, and the Trump administration has responded. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to discuss the response from the administration is Oklahoma Senator James Lankford.
Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Always good to be with you, Tony.
You tweeted out, it is right that the State Department continues to push for human rights, including religious freedom, with China. We must continue to take action against the detention of minority religious groups and violation of human rights. This is a good move by the administration.
It is a very good move by the administration. China, over the past several years, has started clamping down on people of faith of all types. For official churches, even, that have been recognized in the past, they have to remove crosses off of their building because it's not Chinese enough. For unofficial churches, individuals rounded up. We have individuals like Pastor Saw and what he has faced. But we also have 2 million-plus Muslim Uyghurs in the northern part of the country that they are sent to re-education camps to learn how to be, quote-unquote, more Chinese. These individuals are under heavy surveillance. They're under heavy control. They're being managed in an area and restricted in travel. This is something we as Americans would never allow and shouldn't ever allow, but we should be able to allow people to be able to live their most basic human value of their faith and to be able to carry that out. And we see that being repressed in China. It's entirely appropriate for the administration to speak out.
And I don't want people to miss the significance of this, because this doesn't happen often where an administration will take these types of actions. But we've seen this administration now in the last 6 months, even at the last ministerial in July, announcing travel restrictions against some of the militia leaders in Iraq. So they're using these tools that Congress has given them. But in particular with China, this comes at a very difficult time. The trade talks still, restarting with China. And not only are there visa restrictions, but also yesterday the Department of Commerce announcing the blacklisting of 28 organizations, entities, businesses, government entities that are a part of using the artificial intelligence, facial recognition to suppress, which restricts U.S. companies from doing business with some of these entities. Again, a very significant move.
It is. And it's one of the areas that I and several others have pushed on the administration and have encouraged them to say, if you're going to take this move, take it. Because while we're having trade negotiations, it is the key moment to also stand up for basic human rights and dignity. There are not a lot of things that get other countries' attention. If they don't care about the value of a life, if the state is more important than the individual, then there are very few moments to be able to get a state's attention and to say each individual is valuable. And when we're doing trade talks with them, that is the key moment to say you have economic goals. We as Americans have economic goals, but we also have humanity goals. We believe in the basic freedom of individuals to be able to not only live free, but to be able to practice their faith freely. And so it is not just a good moment. It is the best moment to be able to get their attention and to say, bring in the issue of human rights while we're also talking about economic issues.
Well, let me ask you this, Senator Lankford. When was the last time we had an administration that brought human rights, religious freedom, to the forefront of discussions with China during trade talks?
I don't recall. Just having trade talks, period, with China has been overly complicated. And the last five administrations have also all worked to be able to get to this point where this administration is now. But it is entirely appropriate to be able to bring in human rights. And I'm grateful that they haven't just said it's about the dollar, but they've also said it's about the value of each individual life and our economy. And so I don't know of a time that this has been addressed before, but I'm very grateful it is now.
But this is a drum that you've been beating, and you've made this point very clear that in all of our discussions about trade, that religious freedom, human rights should be a part of that discussion. You're seeing that in this administration, are you not?
I am, actually. In 2015, I worked to be able to get an amendment passed into law, and it was passed. When we deal with trade negotiations, any trade, formal trade deal that we have, during that process, they have to bring up the issue of religious liberty with that location. And I brought that up originally because at the time, there was conversation about having a trade deal with Vietnam. And I said, if we're going to have a trade deal with Vietnam, we have to include the area of religious liberty because there are so many oppressed people there in Vietnam dealing with this issue of religious liberty and their freedom to be able to worship. So I brought it up at that point, not realizing how much that would also kick into a conversation about China now as well.
Yeah, in Vietnam, actually, their economy is exploding, about 8% growth last year, but they're still struggling with the issue of human rights, religious freedom in particular. Of course, one of five communist countries remaining. But I think as we continue in those discussions with countries like Vietnam, we can help them improve. But we've got to be willing to have those hard conversations.
Yeah, we can and we should. What Vietnam is experiencing right now is China's mistakes. Many companies are leaving China and their manufacturing, and they're moving to Vietnam. They're moving to other areas on the Pacific Rim to be able to do their manufacturing, to be able to get out of China, where China steals their intellectual property, and there's all sorts of other issues with employees there. And so as companies leave out from China, they're heading to Vietnam, and Vietnam is rapidly growing. But one of the things that we can do is say, hey, we're glad to be able to do business with you, but we believe in the value of each individual. We want to be able to work with you to be able to honor basic human rights and dignity.
Yeah, and I think Vietnam, since we're mentioning Vietnam, their view of America has almost supplanted their affection toward China. So they're being drawn to and the free market system. They're enjoying the growth in their economy. So hopefully we'll be consistent in holding up those American ideals and values when it comes to the individual human being, as you've articulated.
Yeah, that should be our goal. Again, we can't run every country, nor should we run every country, but we should be a city on the hill on areas about religious freedom and others. And this is something that other countries are afraid of. But as we do it in our country and as we promote it in other countries, that value will continue to be able to spread.
Senator Lankford, one final question for you, because part of this yesterday involved the Department of Commerce, part of the State Department, part Department of Commerce blacklisting these Chinese companies and entities, restricting U.S. businesses from doing business with them. But part of this use of artificial intelligence, facial recognition that's been used to suppress Uyghurs in particular, this has been facilitated by U.S. technology. There's got to be some level of responsibility, you would think, from American companies not to be a part of repressing people.
Yeah, and that is the challenge of both shareholders and of companies themselves to be able to determine what they choose to be a part of, and for the United States to be able to determine what is it that our companies are doing worldwide that can have this kind of negative effect. I think most people don't know. Many people probably listen to your show, do because they're more informed, but many people don't know that in China, you have not only a credit score, but they're also experimenting with what's called a social score that individuals in different provinces, and those provinces are testing out using facial recognition to be able to track where people go. And then if you get a low enough social score that you don't agree with the communist government, you can't get on public transportation. Your kids can't get into school. You can't actually get a job. You can't travel outside the country. This is the way they track each individual, and they have just a multitude of cameras around the country to be able to track the movement of every person, going all the way down to their emotion when they're walking around to be able to track, are they happy or sad based on their scoring there. That is something that we would never allow nor should allow as a country, but we're watching a communist China figure out how to be able to manage its people and control its people to a whole new level.
And perfect that technology so that it can be exported. And that's a big concern.
And other countries are already looking at that to be able to see if they can try to manage their people in the same way that China is. Now, China's not finished this. They're experimenting in different provinces or doing it in different ways. But they are no doubt they are working to be able to perfect a system to be able to track and control their own citizens.
Well, fortunately, we have an administration that's willing to stand up against that and hopefully slow that process down until we can get a better handle on it. Senator Lankford, as always, thanks so much for taking time out to join us today.
You bet. Glad to be able to do that, Tony. Take care.
You can find out more about Family Research Council's efforts in the area of religious freedom when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you sign up for Tony's email update, where you can find additional stories about many of the topics we cover here on Washington Watch. Again, that website is TonyPerkins.com. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.